Meditation has always resonated amongst men as a viable medium that can produce peaceful episodes in the midst of chaotic times. Some sit and vainly contemplate their belly buttons and their breathing, true, but be advised, friends, the born again are the masters of meditation because our meditations are focused quite a bit higher than our own navels. God speaks to Joshua as he prepares to embark upon the conquest of Canaan and focuses Joshua's meditations in a special place, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Marvelous things happen when God's children meditate. Consider this short list. Meditating on God's word grows IQ, and it begins at born again. At this place, life's bad decisions and bondages end, and God's word begins to lead the way. Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. Godly meditation unlocks the inner savant. A savant is an individual with phenomenal skills in areas like mathematics, art, architecture, music, and more, but whose skills in other areas of life are woefully lacking or underdeveloped, as depicted in Rain Man. Psychiatrists have discovered a strange anomaly in savantism, though. A study was done of individuals all around the world who, after experiencing a traumatic event, had acquired savant-like skills instantly. However, unlike typical savants, these individuals still retained all the other life skills they had prior to their trauma. They had just unlocked an extraordinary ability. It is obvious that these unlearned savant-like skills were downloaded into man from the beginning. The research suggests all humans may have these hidden savant-like skills within them. Barring a traumatic experience, psychiatrists suggest meditation can unlock the door. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Neuroscience recently reported that meditation rebuilds the brain's gray matter in just 8 weeks. Romans 12:1. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Neuroscience also now knows that those who believe in God and those who meditate upon his word have a unique skill they call implicit pattern learning. Simply put, we see the whole picture and not just a part of it. The secret power of godly meditation begins at the place Jesus calls born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except that man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again? In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt. And if you do, everything changes for you today. Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, every single one. Today, you will be born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God, and you will begin to participate in the secret power of godly meditation. Are you ready? Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject. God said, Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God said, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God said, Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Man said, with man's huge advances in science and the grand entrance of our newest darling, artificial intelligence, we might soon reach immortality. Wow, can you imagine? Eternal life without Jesus Christ and God's word to reign on our parade? It's perfect. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1204. That will, for the 1204th time, certify the perfect and supernatural inerrancy of God's majority text, Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and as ammunition in the battle for the lost sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you and direct your path. It is known as the doctrine of imminence, which is the teaching that Jesus Christ could return for his church at any moment. This was the doctrine of the New Testament church, and it remains the same today. The time of Christ's return is hand in front of your face close. The Bible informs us that a general state of mind will prevail over the earth at the time of God's world-ending judgment, in which Romans chapter 1 describes the self-proclaimed wisest amongst us refusing to retain God in their knowledge, resulting in their being turned over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a worthless one, and the glaring results of this state of mind is a deep spiritual wickedness and a headlong dive into homosexual perversions. Romans chapter 1, 21 through 28. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12 addresses the spiritual mindset of the world at its very end. Does this sound familiar? And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The reprobate professors of the world's academic institutions have taught their students that evolution is the God of creation. According to evolutionists, there was a big bang out of virtually nothing, and boom, here we are. Your first cousin is a mushroom, your second cousin is a banana, and your father is a monkey. To these revelations, the whole class parroted, "Wow, isn't evolution awesome?" The blind professors have convinced their blind students that they can, in fact, see. And as Jesus said, they have both fallen in the ditch. Matthew 15:14, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Remember, think imminence. Think soon. Think now. Satan has cornered the mainstream and the fringe mediums of communication. It is not so hard to do when you understand that the unsaved are taken captive by him at his will, 2 Timothy 2:26. Remember, all things, including you and me, are made out of words, and the devil surely knows that has always been a word issue from the beginning to the end. Daniel 7:25 speaks of Satan's last day efforts against the saints. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Satan's plan is to wear out the redeemed with a constant barrage of bold-faced lies. The carnal man finds it easier in many cases to believe a lie over the truth. This is a matter of heredity, like mother like daughter, like father like son. The following paragraphs are from the God Said, Man Said feature, 21 Signs of Doomsday, Update 60, Absurdity. Absurd, yet the world's academics bow. Mathematics has a concept called absurd. The following excerpts are from Dr. Chuck Missler's book, Beyond Coincidence. While nothing is considered impossible in statistics, merely highly improbable, there has to be a point in mathematics where it's justified to call it quits and say, enough's enough. In his book, 1962 book, Probabilities of Life, mathematician Emil Borel suggests that probabilities become too negligible to worry about on a cosmic scale after 1 in 10 to the 50th power. Odds of 1 in a trillion, 10 to the 12th power, may not get many investors, but it's still remotely possible. On the other hand, the chance of 1 in 10 to the 50th power is inconceivable. It is defined as absurd. 1 in 10 to the 50th power is defined as absurd, Dr. Missler continues. There are large problems with the argument that this macromolecule developed through random processes in ancient bacteria. The 20 protein-forming amino acids exist among hundreds, and from those 20, the brutally long sequence of amino acids has to line up in precise order. The amino acids have to be chained together just right, or the protein doesn't fold properly, and oxygen cannot attach and release in the manner precisely balanced for life. The number of possible arrangements in a polypeptide of 574 amino acids from the 20 basic ones is 10 to the 650th power. Now, that's a 10 with 650 zeros after it. Excuse me, a 1. Yet during the alleged 13.8 billion years of the universe, there have only been 4 times 10 to the 17th seconds. To suggest this complex protein formed by chance is ludicrous. End of quote. Absurd is defined as 10 to the 50th power, so then 10 to the 650th is absurdity magnified 13 times. Again, from 21 Signs of Doomsday, Update 55, Names of Blasphemy, Part 3. The mathematical probability of occurrence of complex organisms is terribly low for biological evolution and higher for biological abrupt appearance. Schulzenberger of the University of Paris, at a conference on mathematical challenges to the neo-Darwinian interpretation of evolution, concluded that the probability of evolution by mutation and natural selection is not conceivable. We believe that it is not conceivable. In fact, if we try to simulate such a situation by making changes randomly at the typographical level on computer programs, we find that we have no chance, i.e. less than 1/10 to the 1,000th power, even to see what the modified program would compute. It just jams. Thus, to conclude, we believe that there is a considerable gap in the neo-Darwinian theory of evolution, and we believe this gap to be of such a nature that it cannot be bridged within the current conception of biology. Ambrose of the University of London also finds that for the emergence of new species, the probability is so small in terms of the known age of the universe that it is effectively zero. One example is the information content of essential enzymes, which is unimaginably vast, according to the famous astronomer Hoyle, formerly a professor of Cambridge and director of its Institute of Theoretical Astronomy, and mathematician-astronomer Wickramasinghe. The essence of his argument last week was that the information content of the higher forms of life is represented by the number 10 with 40,000 zeros after it, representing the specificity with which some 2,000 genes, each of which might be chosen from 10 to the 20th nucleotide sequences of the appropriate length, might be defined. Evolutionary processes, Wood Hoyle said, require several Hubble times. Each Hubble time is the time since the postulated Big Bang to yield such a result. The chance that higher life forms might have emerged in this way is comparable with the chance that a tornado sweeping through a junkyard might assemble a Boeing 747 from the materials therein. Remember, in mathematics, the odds of 1 in 10 to the 50th power is considered absurd, so then 10 to the 40,000th power is absurdity magnified 800 times, end of quote. Dr. John Ashton authored the book Evolution Impossible. His biography follows. Dr. John F. Ashton, Ph.D., C.Chem, F.R.A.C.I., is adjunct professor of biomedical sciences at Victoria University, Melbourne, and adjunct professor of applied sciences at the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, a university, the largest Australian tertiary institution. He holds a BSc honors with prize in chemistry and a Ph.D. in epistemology, a branch of philosophy dealing with the limits of knowledge, also with prize, from the University of Newcastle, and an MSc in chemistry from the University of Tasmania. Dr. Ashton is a chartered chemist and a fellow of the Royal Australian Chemical Institute. His career includes 14 years in tertiary science education and 25 years in industry, mainly involved with food chemistry and related biomedical science research. Dr. Ashton has served as the industry partner investigator for Australian government co-funded research at 7 Australian universities. He also served as editor of 3 books related to science and faith issues, including the much cited In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation, end of quote. Following, you'll find a sample of short excerpts from Dr. Ashton's book that will demonstrate the absurdity of academia's God, evolution. However, to date, I have found no reputable published scientific paper that explains a proven mechanism for how this huge amount of highly complex genetic information could arise by chance, nor could I find any scientific papers reporting the observation of new meaningful genetic information arising by chance. In other words, I could not find a single published scientific paper reporting the evidence that supports the fundamental requirement of evolution that new meaningful genetic information arises by chance. Instead, I have found much published data showing that it is impossible for new purposeful genetic information of any significance for evolution to arise by chance. This was an astounding finding. The widely claimed fact of evolution was not only not proved, but there were published articles disproving it. Further shortcomings of the theory of evolution were pointed out by the Rutgers University philosopher Dr. Jerry Fodor, who in an extraordinary article titled Why Pigs Don't Have Wings presented very strong arguments as to why Darwinian-type natural selection cannot be an effective basis for species evolution. Dr. Fodor's piece attracted a lot of comment from other scientists, and he went on to develop his arguments further in a recent book co-authored by Dr. Massimo Palmarini, professor of cognitive science at the University of Arizona, titled with Darwin Got It Wrong. Since natural selection comprises the essential core of Darwin's theory, Fodor's paper presented a serious challenge to the scientific integrity of evolution. As a result, in July of 2008, 16 of the world's leading evolutionary scientists met at the Konrad Lorenz Institute for Evolution and Cognition Research at Altenburg, Austria, to discuss these serious threats to evolutionary science. Details of the conference were written up by science journalist Susan Mazur. She reports interviews and comments from attendees and other thought leaders in the area of evolution. The highlight, the growing realization by these scientists that if natural selection is now rejected or marginalized as the underpinning of evolutionary process, then Darwin's theory is dead. Dr. Jerry Fodor is quoted as saying, basically, I don't think anybody knows how evolution works. This statement is a far cry from the confident assertions found in biology textbooks and museum displays. Furthermore, nobody knows how evolution works because nobody has ever observed evolution. It has never been observed in the past, and it has not been observed in the laboratory. Also, we have not attempted to calculate the probability of a gene that can comprise thousands of millions of nucleobases encoded with information forming by chance. From studies of single-celled organisms, scientists have estimated that the simplest possible living organism would require a genome containing a minimum of 250 to 400 genes. Thus, the improbability of life occurring in the simplest cells with the corresponding molecular capacity vastly exceeds one chance in 10 to the 150 power, which please note is the number one followed by 150 zeros. In other words, abiogenesis is absolutely impossible. That is, a living organism cannot arise by chance from non-living matter. When the evolution literature is examined closely, we find that there is still no known mechanical or naturalistic explanation as to how life started. The proponents of chemical evolution are choosing to stick with and teach a simplistic 80-year-old model against a tidal wave of evidence that abiogenesis is impossible. Biophysicist Dr. Lee Spetner, who taught at both Harvard and Johns Hopkins universities, points out that this type of evolution, type 3, the generation of totally new useful genetic information within the DNA code of an organism by some supposed process in natural which results in a completely new function that has never occurred before, has never been observed. In fact, there is no proven mechanism that can explain the formation of the large quantities of new genetic information required to produce major phenotypic changes, such as the appearance of jointed limbs during the proposed evolution of, for example, arthropods, crustaceans, insects, or spiders. I would like to emphasize that totally new genetic information is required for the theory of evolution to work. That is, genetic information that has not existed previously is required to evolve a bacterium into a yeast like Saccharomyces cerevisiae. The yeast, as a single-celled organism, has a very different structure, with the DNA concentrated in the nucleus. Also, this particular yeast comes as two types, A and B, and cells of type A only mate with cells of type B. So the introduction by random mutations of thousands of highly complex new genetic codes of new genetic information is required for a bacteria to evolve into a yeast. However, this evolution has never been observed, even through millions of generation cycles having occurred in bacteria colonies and laboratories around the world over the past four decades. Also, on the basis of the levels of mutations observed by Dr. Lenski's team and the probability of all this new genetic information arising by chance is so close to zero as to be impossible. And we have discussed but one small step near the bottom of the evolutionary tree relating to organisms that turn over new generation very rapidly. Not only have scientists not observed any of this new genetic information being generated, but on the basis of probability, there is simply not enough time in the supposed 4 billion years of evolution for all the genetic information required in the genomes of all the millions of different species of bacteria, fungi, plants, and animals to evolve as a result of random mutations. If the evolution of a simple cell is statistically impossible, as we saw in the first chapter, the evolution of these higher organisms is even more impossible. So what we actually observe in organisms are mechanisms to minimize mutations. These are mechanisms that minimize diversity outside of that which has been already coded for in the DNA. When mutations do occur, they often lead to disease or death of the organism. So where Darwin assumed that mutations would be nature's way to maximize diversity for survival, which would in turn constitute the platform from evolution, we observe that, in fact, the very opposite is true. And as Spetner points out, on theoretical grounds, random mutations cannot form the basis of evolution. According to proponents of evolution, most of these 100 to 200 million different species of life have evolved over the past 600 million years. That means that new species would have evolved on average every 3 to 5 years. Given the millions of species that now exist in the world, the potential to observe new genetic information being created over the past 50 years of scientific observation should be quite high, but not a single example of some new intermediate arm or leg system, or some intermediate new superior eye, or some new intermediate anything with totally new genetic information evolving has ever been reported in literature. The theory of evolution proposes that in the past there were populations of simple single-celled organisms that evolved into more complex organisms as a result of acquiring genetic information from random mutations. This process has never been observed. And on the basis of our current knowledge of biochemistry and probability, it is absolutely impossible. That is, new types of organisms cannot evolve by random mutations. For a fish-type creature with gills and fins to evolve into a land-dwelling vertebrate with a backbone-type creature with lungs, legs, feet, and a weight-bearing shoulder and pelvic structure requires an enormous amount of new purposeful genetic information to be formed by chance mutations. That is, when the gamete cells of male and female fish combine to form a new living fish embryo, that embryo has to have DNA carrying new extra genetic information that will produce a small mutation, giving it an advantage in survival. This is an essential requirement for progression toward the development of lungs or feet and so on. As we have noted in earlier chapters, not only is there no known mechanism for producing new meaningful genetic information, but also it has never been observed to occur. Also, since the amount of new code required to produce the new bone structures and associated with limb anatomy changes is very large, and the evolutionary model says that this change occurs in many small steps, we should expect to find such fossil evidence of these small changes called transitional forms in the fossil-bearing strata. However, These theoretical transitional forms have not been found. And even evolutionists admit that the absence of fossilized fish gradually becoming amphibians is a conspicuous gap in the fossil record. The sudden appearance and abundance of such a diversity of organisms, sponges, jellyfish, corals, worms, crabs, snails, and more, is referred to by paleontologists as the Cambrian explosion. These fossils found in the lower Cambrian rock strata are a major problem for evolution to explain, as there is no fossil evidence of their evolutionary ancestors. As I've already discussed in the previous chapters, mutations are rarely beneficial, are usually infertile, and are not known to produce new genetic information. So there is no known explanation of how such huge amounts of complex genetic code could form. There is also no evidence of the required mutations in the fossil record. When we look at the overall evidence we have available to us at the present time, there is a huge disparity between erosion and sedimentation rate age calculations and radiometric dating calculations for the age of the continents and the geologic column. Diamonds are supposed to be about the same age as the continents, and yet, because we find measurable carbon-14 in them, they must be less than 100,000 years old and possibly as young as around 5,000 years old. When DNA mutation rates, the finding of soft tissues and dinosaur remains, and the historical accounts of a global flood are considered together with the different dating estimates, there is consistent evidence that there was a catastrophic global flood event only thousands of years ago. It follows that much of the so-called geological column is simply a record of the extinctions that took place during the flood and volcanism catastrophe. Subsequently, it is very plausible to conclude that evolution has, in fact, not occurred. End of quote. So where does that leave us? A few points to ponder. We are looking at magnitudes of absurdity. Absurdity magnified to even more absurd levels. Blind, reprobate academic leaders have convinced their equally blind students that they can, in fact, see. A spirit of strong delusion is truly running mainstream. Satan attempts to wear out the saints with a constant barrage of bold-faced lies. Jesus did not get it wrong. As he says in John 3:17-20, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." This is exactly the issue. Christ returns for his bride and hand in front of the face close. Think eminence, think soon, think now. If you have yet to make your choice for Christ, do it now while you personally still have time. You still have this moment, for you are here. Click on the Further with Jesus now. Waiting is not an option. The door of opportunity is closing. God said, Romans 1:8, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." God said, 2 Thessalonians 2:8-12, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." God said, Daniel 7:25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Man said, with man's huge advances in science and the grand entrance of our newest darling artificial intelligence, we might soon reach immortality. Wow! Can you imagine? Eternal life without Jesus Christ and God's word to inhibit us? It's perfect. Now you have the record.